God is good.
Amen.
He is worthy of our worship and praise. And that's what we plan on doing. Why are you here today? I hope you're here to worship. Because that's what I want to speak about is worship. In fact, I want to give you a true illustration of worship. Now, there's a lot of stuff out there called worship today that's not worship. And no worship that is not biblical is God-approved worship. Amen? You know what our problem is? We've gotten away from the Word of God. We've gotten away from biblical worship. And I want you to understand again that if it's not biblical, you're wasting your time. God will not honor it. So if you've come through those doors and you're not ready to biblically worship the Lord this morning, you should have stayed home. Uh-oh, preacher. Yep, it's going to be one of them. So turn your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 for our thoughts this morning. Again, I want to speak to you on the subject of an illustration of worship. I was studying this week, and you know, I'll give you a little FYI or food for thought. When you study the Bible, and everybody studies the Bible every day, right? I didn't hear a whole house full. Everybody should have said amen. But when you study the Bible, which I pray you do, just don't stay in one book. Study the Old Testament and study the New Testament. And I started in John, and the Bible says we that are His are supposed to worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? That's how we're to worship the Lord. And I studied John, and by the way, you'll never go wrong with studying the book of John. If you just got saved, you are a new child of God, been born again, washed by the blood. My suggestion to you when it comes to reading your Bible is start with the book of John. But as I was studying John, you know, my Bible, I have my study Bible is the Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. And as I was studying, it said Nehemiah. So I said, okay, I'll go over to Nehemiah. And I turned over to Nehemiah and I read chapter 1. Chapter 2, and chapter 3, chapter 4, and you're going, well, that's all about replacing the wall. Yes, it is. But then we got to chapter 8, and it says worship. I thought, oh, okay, and it corresponds with that. So, with that said, chapter 8, I'm going to ask you to do something that we usually don't do. Stand with me as we honor God's word this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. We're not talking about Richard Nixon there. Amen. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Amasai. And y'all have to forgive me for really hurting these names. On his right hand and on his left, Padeah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashum and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he had opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen and Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. And one other passage, go to chapter 9 of the same book, next chapter over, and look at verse 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, one fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshiped the Lord, their God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you and praise you. I'm thankful to be in your house today with your people. We come, Lord, wanting to worship and praise you, Lord. Father, as we bow before your throne, we come asking you to honor the prayer requests that were spoken. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would have his way and we would each examine our hearts and our lives where we are and where we stand with you. Father, again, it's our desire to worship you today in spirit and in truth and to worship you biblically, Lord, in a manner that glorifies you, that you might be pleased and glorified. Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, let this be the day they turn their heart over to you and receive you as their Savior before it's too late. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters to be strengthened in their walk. May we grow to full maturity in Christ. May our lives point others to you and again, glorify you. Be with me. Let me preach with boldness and authority your truths. Give me of my sins. Remove anything that would hinder me from being a vessel that you can use for your glory. I love you and I praise you and I thank you for my salvation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Please be seated. Now I want to begin by saying the children of Israel had finally come back home after captivity to the Babylonians. Now they get back home and of course they restore the wall, they rebuild the city. And of course, also understand that it was a time of celebration. It's a time of dedication because Nehemiah called all the assembly together. Now, you'll notice it says the first day of the month. Well, it was the seventh month, which is very special to me because that means it's July. My birthday's in July, amen? But there's three feasts that are there in July. The first is the first day of the month is always the Feast of Trumpets. And do you understand that the Feast of Trumpets was observed on the first day of every month? You see, what they would do is they would blow the trumpets and that would signify that it was a new month for the children of Israel. And then there was the 10th of the seventh month, and that was the day they offered sacrifices for the Day of Atonement. And then, of course, on the 15th of that seventh month, they also celebrated and observed the Feast of Tabernacles. So, you see, all three feasts were very important to the children of Israel, and they were there, again, to celebrate and dedicate those days. But not only was it a day of dedication and celebration, most of all, it was a day of celebration and worship. And beloved, whether you're aware of it or not this morning, every Sunday, the first day of the week, has been set aside for us as the Lord's born-again children to come and dedicate ourselves back to God. And by the way, I dedicate myself to God every day. How about you? I have to, because that's the only way I can halfway stay afloat. Because without being dedicated and committed to the Lord every day, you know where I'd end up? Back into the old world which I came from before I met the Savior. But anyways, that was what it was. And notice Nehemiah tells them to assemble. And the people assemble and Nehemiah calls the man of God, Ezra, to come and open the law of Moses, which is the word of God back then. What it was considered. And beloved, true worship will always have the Word of God in it. If there's not any preaching, it ain't worship. You won't hear that always. There's some churches that don't want preaching. They want entertainment. They want emotion, but they don't want the Word of God. Well, I will just tell you, don't have the Word of God, it ain't biblical worship. Now, let's get to the Scriptures. And it says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street. Now, first of all, I want you to notice all people gather. That's not just the priests and the Levites, but all people gathered together. And that's men. That's women. And believe it or not, it's even children. And when I say children, I'm talking about children, according to the Word of God, that are able to understand. I'm not talking about the little babies. But when a child is able to understand, you are to have them in church. Amen? Now, notice, and they gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And let me just say, they gathered themselves, men, women, boys, and girls, and they gathered themselves as one man. You know what that means? It means that when they came together, all of those people in Jerusalem, when they came together, they were unified for one reason. They were there to worship God. Let me say, when we come to God's house, if you and I are not unified to worship God, it's not biblical worship. We need to be on the same page. Don't need to be thinking about what's going on in the news, what's going on in the world, what's happening at home, what's happening on the job, what's happening at school. We need to be unified in, hey, we've come to worship our God. Amen. So, notice with me, they were gathered together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. Now, that water gate, and by the way, there's several gates, city of Jerusalem. There's an eastern gate, there's a water gate, there's a, don't be offended, a dung gate, there's a sheep gate, there's even a goat gate, and you can keep going down the line. But this was a water gate. You see, this is where the city of Jerusalem got their fresh water. But I want you to see the symbolism there. They were all commanded to come in one accord by the water gate. You see, that water gate is symbolic of the washing of water by the Word of God. You ever read your Bible and it tells us over there in Ephesians about the washing of water by the Word of God? That's what the Bible does. The Word of God cleanses us, Brother Ciro, every single day. Every time we pick it up and we study it, it shows us where we are in our walk with the Lord. And it shows us our need for cleansing. Now, what can wash away my sin? It's a fact, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But also the Word of God washes us when we're in it. It cleanses us. It makes us acceptable before God because we love His Word. Now, notice, and they called for the preacher, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, the Word of God, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. As I said a moment ago, ain't no true, and I know I said ain't, I'm from Arkansas, I'm sorry. But there is no, understand, there is no worship without preaching of the Word of God. Does everybody understand that? You see, understand with me a moment. I think it was Paul in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians that said that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Foolishness of preaching. You say, Brother John, why does God want you to preach? Well, that's God's way of sharing with His people His heart and what they need in their life through preaching. And the world will tell you it's foolishness. But to God, the power of the gospel, it is what? Salvation. You see, it's through the word of God I was saved. I have reason to celebrate. And I have reason to say I am so thankful the word of God was proclaimed when I was growing up and I heard about Jesus. Amen. Now, notice with me. And it says, Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women and all that could hear, with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Okay. He came and he brought it. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And it says, not some of the ears, but it says all the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Two quick things and we'll move on. One, how long did he preach? He was long-winded. Huh? From the morning till midday. You see, today, folks can't stand the thought of sitting in the church house when the bell hits 12 o'clock. They're scared to death. Oh, my Lord, he's going to be long. How am I going to get in line to the restaurant and get my dinner before 1? Beloved, these folks not only stood, and I'll get to that in a few minutes because that'll preach too, not only did they stand as he proclaimed and read the law of God, the Bible to them, and preached it to them, but the Bible says they were attentive, which lets me know they wasn't thinking about what they have to do when they get home, what they have to do Monday morning when they go to work, what's going on over at the Jones' house next door. They weren't thinking about things like that. They were thinking about things of God. Beloved, let me ask you, and I'll throw myself in with you. There have been times I've allowed my mind to wander. How about you? We have. Oh, hurry up, get done. I want to see what the Niners are doing. Beloved, I've thought that. Come on, be honest. We're in the house of God. We better not be trying to lie. Oh, man, I want to ride my bicycle. Oh, man, I want to go to the lake. Hurry up, preacher. Shut up and let's go home. Let's get out the doors. No, these people were attentive because they knew the word of... they knew that the word of God was going to influence their lives and help them in their walk every day. And what people don't understand today is why we come to church. It's a waste of time. No, it's not. Listen, I come to worship Him because He is worthy to worship. I come to celebrate what He's done for me. Amen. Now, it says, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit. Oh my goodness, that sound familiar? We got a pulpit here. Now if I stood on it, I don't know if my head would hit the fan or not, probably not. But we have a pulpit. Old habit. And it's scriptural to have a pulpit in the church. Now, I don't always stay behind the pulpit. In fact, I find it hard to stay behind. I come down here amongst the people. But it says that Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they made for him for that purpose. And of course it talks about all those that stood on his right and his left. And notice it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Notice he opened the word of God. Listen, when I come here, I come to open the word of God to you. And they stood in reverence to God. They stood by honoring God and His word. Beloved, I think if we're going to have true biblical worship, we have to be about honoring God and His Word. And it does not hurt for us to stand as we break the bread of life in honor. And I would like to see us do that more. In fact, I'm just going to tell you, that's what we're going to start doing. That way you can rest, you get up and stand, because I might be long-winded. That way you had your exercise. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, they stood because it was the Word of God. They were hungry for the Word. Oh, if we had people that were hungry for the Word of God today. People that wanted to hear the Word of God preached and taught, not just entertained. And I'll get in trouble. This emotion nonsense. I'm not saying we as God's people should just be stoic, not have any emotion. If the Spirit convicts your heart over sin in your life, nothing wrong with boo-hooing. And I'm not going to say, stop your crying. No. Listen, if my Savior can weep, I most certainly can. I'm not, but if I'm doing it so that you will think I'm more spiritual, and I'm doing it to be seen of men, then it's wrong. It's all about getting right with God. And I'll tell you what, when you come to biblically worship the Lord and you hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed, I assure you, you will get right with God if your heart's right. Because He's going to convict you. He's going to show you where you are lacking. And by the way, I lack every day. How about you? You see, I'm a work in progress, and so are you. But I come to worship the Lord. Notice with me what it says. Ezra blessed the Lord. When we have biblical worship, it'll always bless God. God will be pleased with our worship. Amen. Notice what it says. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen and amen, with lifting up their hands. Amen. With lifting up their hands. What were they doing? They were rejoicing. And beloved, it is scriptural to raise your hands in the church house. It's not going to kill you, Baptists. Amen. You won't drop dead. You can lift up your hands. Now listen to me. If you start bringing attention to yourself, it's a different story. But if you do it in reverence to God, in rejoicing for what He's done, and let me just say something. The people were rejoicing because they were brought back out of captivity. You see, their sins had caused them to be held captive to the Babylonians. And now, in God's faithfulness, He brought them home. They've had the city restored, the walls rebuilt, and now they're rejoicing for what God has done. Beloved, you and I have a lot to rejoice for also. You see, God loved me and you so much, He left the portals of heaven, came down in the form of man, went to the cross, sacrificed Himself so that you and I could be redeemed and spend eternity with Him forever. If that doesn't make you want to rejoice, I don't know what will. And by the way, if Christians can't rejoice, something's wrong. And by the way, if they can't rejoice in God's house, where are they going to rejoice? Right? So understand, children of Israel were lifting their hands as they stood, praising God for what He did for them. When's the last time you thanked the Lord and praised Him for what He done for you? I am saved, washed by the blood. I got a home in heaven waiting. Don't get no better than that. I've got a great wife, a wonderful family. I got a wonderful church family. He's allowed me to be the shepherd of His church. Oh, I've got a lot to thank Him for and praise Him for and rejoice for. Amen. We got so much to be grateful for. And it says that They lifted up their hands and they bowed their head. You see, talking about reverence, not only did they rejoice, but they were reverent of God. They wouldn't even so much as look up to God. They kept their heads down. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, isn't it about time we start reverencing God today? You see, we are in the presence of a holy God. He has given us this time, this opportunity, come through those doors to His church to reverence Him and worship Him. Again, you and I are in the very presence of God. That should be a very sobering thought. Right now, He knows all of our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows every one of us, whether we belong to Him or not. And we're here for the right reason or not. You see, they wouldn't so much, that crowd wouldn't so much as even lift their heads. You see, they recognized they were in the presence of God. When's the last time you recognized you're in His presence? Not just when you come to church on Sunday or Sunday night, but every day. So they reverence Him. And then notice what it says. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then let's look at the attitude of worship real quick. Turn over there to chapter 9 and verse 3. Look at verse 3. It simply says this. And they stood up in their place, read the book of the law of the Lord their God, one fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now, a fourth part of the day is 3 hours. So the word of God was read, preached, proclaimed, 3 hours. I know Baptists that would die of a heart attack if I preached for 3 solid hours. I know Baptists that would never darken the doors again if not only did I preach for 3 hours, but then we had an altar call for 3 hours. Because the Bible says that they confessed their sins and worshiped the Lord for another 3 hours. So we're talking 6 hours. You say, don't get no ideas, preacher. I'm not trying to imply we're going to go to 6-hour services every time. My Lord, I couldn't even preach 6 hours. I really couldn't. But I am implying, why is it when 12 o'clock hits, we're going, and after? I know He's going to preach at least till 12:20. And there's been times I've got you a little bit till 1:45. I ain't done that very often, but you know, what does it hurt if it's the Word of God? If it's going to cause you to get right, amen? You see, notice, they reverenced the Lord and they were so happy to be there with the Word of God because they desired the Word of God. They wanted to be fed the Word of God. Let me ask you, when's the last time you truly devoured? You wanted this. You see, they desired it. Can I tell you, as much as I like to eat, and you know I do, so do y'all, we like food, don't we? In fact, we couldn't live without food. Well, I make sure I get mine. But you know what? This is spiritual food, and this is the greatest food there is. You see, I have the opportunity to eat steak every single day. It's the greatest meat there is. And not only does it sustain me and feed me and nourish me and grow me, but the desire is there I want it daily. And when I feed upon it again, it begins to do something within me. First of all, it shows me, got work in this area to do. Not quite there yet, but it humbles me and shows me where there's a need. And then I ask the Lord to help me. And if I've got sin in my life, just like that group that stood, and there was a great multitude in the city of Jerusalem, the water's gate, they became convicted because the Word of God was preached and proclaimed, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with hearts, and they recognized they needed to confess their sins. There's no one here that doesn't have a need to confess your sins. Because after all, what are we? Sinners, saved or lost, but sinners. We're all sinners. And the Bible says, they stood, read the book of the law, had Ezra read it. And then the next part, fourth, they confessed their sin before the Lord. So again, 6 hours. Would you say they had church that day? Would you say that is a biblical illustration of what true worship is?
Yes.
Because we desire God. We desire His Word. And we're not worried about what other people are going to think or do, because it's between us and God. And we're here to honor and worship Him. That's what it's all about. I don't come here, believe it or not, to be seen by you. You don't come to be seen by me. You come to worship God. And the way we honor God is by rejoicing on who He is. And by the way, when's the last time we had something to rejoice about? Well, are you breathing this morning? That's something to rejoice about. Are you able to get here today? Something to rejoice about. Are you able to see a brother or sister? And did they offer you a word of encouragement? That was good to see you. Praying for you. Something to rejoice about. You see, the children of Israel were rejoicing because God brought them and delivered them out of captivity. You understand, you and I were held captive also. We were in the slave market of sin, and Jesus Christ came and purchased us and redeemed us out of that slave market of sin and set us free through His sacrifice. Beloved, if you can't rejoice over that, check yourself, right? Now, notice, it's scriptural to say amen. In fact, amen and amen. It wouldn't kill you to say amen. Especially when the Word of God is proclaimed. That's right, sister. Let the redeemed say so. Now I'm really going to get in trouble. You know what I think the problem is? A lot of folks, and I'm not talking about you, so don't get your old dander up. He's mad at me, or he said this about me. I don't want to hear it. You know what's wrong? See that right there? Called an altar. People are scared of it. You didn't say that, yeah. You're like, if I go up there, people will think there's something wrong with me. I think there's something wrong with you when you don't go to it. Say amen, that's the truth. When an invitation is given, you ought to flock to the altar, especially if you know there's something between you and God. And you shouldn't be ashamed. That's what the altar's all about. But yet, what do? Oh, I'll ask God to forgive me in the car. And you can do that. You can get forgiveness anywhere. You call on the name of the Lord, He'll forgive you. But listen, there's nothing wrong with openly testifying. You know what? I am a sinner. I have trouble. I am not perfect. I'm still not right, but I need your prayers. But I tell you what, you're not going to hold me back. I'm going to go up and I'm going to make things right with God. Because I don't care what you think. Only thing that matters is what does He think? We should never be afraid of that altar. And if someone has a problem with you going to the altar, would you let me know? I'd like to have a little talk with them. Because that's what the altar's for. And if my heart's right and your heart's right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come alongside you and say, brother, it is a struggle. Been there? Let me see if I can help you. Because I know God's able. I went through the same thing. You're not alone. Brother Jerry is talking when he read, talking about agape love. In order to biblically worship God, that's the kind of heart we have to have. A heart like God's. You see, God was literally pleased with the children of Israel there at that moment because they came as they were. Didn't put on airs. They came. They wanted and desired the Word of God. They received the Word of God. They weren't ashamed to praise God. They respected God. They reverenced who He was because they wouldn't even so much as look their head up. And then they got right with God. Folks, that is biblical worship. And it's a shame what we have today isn't that. We miss it. And I know there's skeptics out there and they'll say, and I've even had this said to me when talking to someone about the Lord and church. Well, that church thing, preacher, that's for that older generation. We don't need to do that anymore. Which I respond back with, you need it more now than they did back when they were your age. You see, it's not for just the old. It's not just for the young. It's for all of us. Every one of us. And we need to know how to properly worship the Lord. And you'll not find a better illustration in the Scriptures than what you found right here. So I'm going to ask you today in close. You ready to get out the doors? Just get out the door and get away? Or are you ready to worship the Lord? Is there areas in your life that aren't quite where they are to be? Then you need to come to the altar and get it settled with God. He'll meet you. Guaranteed. Maybe it is well with your soul. You're all right with the Lord. You've worshiped the Lord. It wouldn't hurt you to praise Him and thank Him. But above all, if you're here under the sound of my voice and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is like water off a duck's back. You have no clue. If you don't repent and receive Jesus as your Savior, you are going to die and go to hell. I don't know how to be any plainer. Hell is a real place. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's a fact. The Word of God tells you. You see, this book here is for our benefit. And God Himself, one, reveals His heart to us. And that heart is He loves me and you. He went and paid a debt neither of us would ever pay. None of us. He paid it Himself when He gave His life. But not only does it reveal His heart to us, and He loves us, and He doesn't want any of us to perish, but it also reveals if we go ahead and reject Him, that when we come to the end of life, then we will eternally be separated from Him in a place called hell. Now, hell was first created for the devil and those angels that rebelled with him against God in heaven. But it's also enlarging itself every day, and it's also a place where those that reject Jesus and His pardon will spend eternity, fully separated from God. So, if you're here under the sound of my voice this morning and you don't know the Savior, that's where you're going to end up without the Lord. But you don't have to. You don't have to. All you have to do is accept what He did as payment for your sins and believe He's the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, and that not only did He die for your sins, but on the third day He rose. Just believe it. And you'll be saved. That's how simple it is. It was so simple, I was able to understand. So, this morning, all of us are without excuse. We know what biblical worship is. We need to be about biblical worship. When we come through those doors, let's have our minds and our hearts set on worshiping. It all begins with this right here. Bible says over in Ezra chapter 7, I think. But it talks about this, that Ezra had a desire for the law of God and wanted to teach the children of Israel the Lord's statutes and His judgments. You see, I come here not to be seen, not to be spiritual Superman. God, believe me, I'm far from that. I come here not because you give me a check, you pay me a salary. I come here because, one, I desire God's Word, and I want to share it with you. That's why I'm here. I'm not here for any other reason. I desire to share it with you. I desire for all of you to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And that's why I get up every morning. There's times I hadn't been at my best. But the Lord does know my heart. I have a desire. Because He placed that desire in my heart years ago after I met the Savior. My desire for Lone Mountain Baptist Church is that we come to biblically worship God. That's the only reason we should be here, Brother Sewell, to worship Him. Because He and He alone is worthy. So, in close, what's it going to be? Examine your hearts. If there's a need, come to the altar. It'll be met. I assure you. But do what He leads you to.